Hello and welcome to South Asia Chat, a podcast series brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. I'm your host, Nitya Subramanian, an editor at the Institute. The nine-month-long military standoff between India and China at Eastern Ladakh came to an end after the disengagement of troops was announced in February. India has viewed this as a victory, while China has said that both countries should create enabling conditions to settle border dispute. To discuss more on this talk, we have with us Ambassador Gautam Bambawale, a career diplomat who has served as the Indian ambassador to China, Pakistan, and Bhutan. He is a distinguished professor at Symbiosis International University, Pune, and a senior advisor to OLA. Thank you, Ambassador, for joining us today.
Nitya, thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be with all of you on your podcast.
Let me start off by asking you that after a nine-month standoff along the LAC in Eastern Ladakh, China's defense minister announced a synchronized and organized disengagement. This, of course, comes after several rounds of military and diplomatic negotiations. What, according to you, are the factors that led to this disengagement?
Thank you very much for that question, Nitya. And let me start by saying that the disengagement has taken place in only one sector or subsector, if you wish to call it that, of the Ladakh region of India, where the two militaries of the two countries are facing off in other subsectors even now. So we have had a disengagement in one part of Ladakh, but not in others. We are still negotiating and discussing that. To the question of what has led to the disengagement, I think I can be very categorical that it has been the firm resolve, determination displayed not only by the government of India, but also by the people of India, which has led to this disengagement. And let me backtrack a little bit on this issue. When the Chinese PLA, when the Chinese army brought in large numbers of troops into this part, into this geography, there were almost several divisions of troops, 40 to 50,000 troops. India did a matching buildup. And we indicated not only by military means, but also by other means, which I will come to in a jiffy. But we indicated very clearly that it was firmly resolved in India by our people and government that we will not allow any kind of nibbling at territory which may not be Indian, but is definitely not Chinese. Because as you know, there is a problem about where the boundary actually lies or even where the line of control, line of actual control lies. So it was this firm resolve and determination of the people and government of India, which led India to take steps not only in the military area, but also in the geopolitical area, meeting of the Quad. And you have a leaders' summit for the first time ever of the four Quad countries later today. And also the economic measures that the government of India took in banning certain Chinese apps, in making it more difficult for Chinese companies to invest in India, et cetera. So it was this determination which was clearly indicated to the Chinese side, which I think has led to the current disengagement in one sector of Ladakh. I hope that it will also expand to other parts of Ladakh.
Thank you, Ambassador. In fact, you touched upon many points that I would like you to elaborate in the next few questions. You rightly said that the troops have been pulled out of one sector, which is Pangong So, but they haven't moved out of other sectors. The Indian government, however, has been demanding that the troops go back to the April 2020 position. What are your views on this? Do you think this is possible? And do you think China will continue to flex its muscle, or do you think India will be able to make this disengagement last and also go back to the April 2020 position?
You're absolutely right, Nitya, that the position of the government of India is that status quo ante as it existed in April 2020 be restored in all along the LAC, particularly in the Ladakh region of India. And there is still some way to go in achieving this objective, but I think there is no give on this as far as India is concerned. Why the Chinese moved their troops? Perhaps it was an attempt at military coercion, but India has shown that she is militarily, economically, and politically strong enough to stand up to such coercion or such bullying, if I may use another word. And I think as a result of that, we have seen this disengagement in one part of Ladakh. I, for one, am quite positive that there will be disengagement in other parts of Ladakh also. And I think that we will restore the status quo ante as it existed before all this started in early May of 2020. As far as what will happen in the future, you know, I think unfortunately by these moves, there has been a great breaching of trust between the two countries. And I would fairly and pointedly blame the Chinese side for that. And this breaching of trust is now going to be very difficult to resolve. It is going to be very difficult to regain the kind of trust that existed before all this started 9 months ago, as you rightly said. And therefore, India is going to be prepared and will take steps and measures to prepare herself to defend our territory, to defend our sovereignty in any way that is required. And I think that is something which is going to happen. It's going to happen on a series of fronts, not just on the military side, also on the geopolitical side. And here, you know, we have spoken a little bit about the Quad summit meeting, which is taking place in a few hours from now. I see the Quad strengthening immeasurably as a result of Chinese aggressiveness, of Chinese assertiveness over the last few months. And economically too, I can assure you, Nitya, that it will not be business as usual as it existed before early May of 2020. There will be changes in the template in which India and China conduct relations across the board, but definitely on the economic side too. So these are changes which have been necessitated by the moves that China made in early May 2020. And as a result of that, India has clearly indicated to China that it cannot be business as usual.
Ambassador, you used a very strong term, bully. What did China achieve through this whole process of encroaching into India through these 9 months? What did they actually achieve?
That's an excellent question, and I really don't have the answer to it. I think it would be best to ask a Chinese interlocutor or someone from the Chinese government this question. But from my perspective, what I see, Nitya, is that for some minor tactical gain, perhaps on the ground, which is also very doubtful, China has unfortunately lost India strategically. And I think, you know, for perhaps some minor tactical gains on the ground, China has paid a big price and will pay a big price in the sense of losing India from a strategic perspective. And that's how I see what has happened over the last 9 or 10 months.
Another point that you talked about was domestic politics. I mean, the Indian government had to keep in mind its people while dealing with China. How much did you think this pressure worked on the Indian government taking a hardline approach?
I think where it is a question of territorial integrity and national sovereignty, and when there was an attempt to nibble at it, as some people in India call it, and have called it salami slicing. It is impossible for the government of India to envision that or to allow that to happen. And therefore, on the military side, we clearly indicated that we will build up our military personnel to ensure that that cannot continue and that will not happen. But also we indicated very clearly that if there is no peace and tranquility in the India-China border areas, then the rest of the relationship will be negatively impacted. And that is exactly what has happened. And that is exactly what we have seen developing over the last 9 or 10 months. And as a result of that, I would say that there is a, there has been a reset in India-China relations. There will be a new equilibrium, a new normal in India-China relations. And it will be a more competitive relationship than it has been so far.
The new Biden administration, we've seen, has not deviated from Trump's stance on China. And the first Quad summit is taking place today, where all the leaders are meeting. The foreign ministers, as we know, have already met earlier. Meanwhile, we've also heard statements from Beijing, where Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi has recently said that India and China should be friends and partners instead of threats and competitors. Now, what role do you see this relationship between India and China? What role has it played on this decision of the troops, of the disengagement? And how would you read Wang Yi's statement?
Well, I do not see how India and China can remain friends and partners when China itself has begun and continued over several months attempts at military coercion on the India-China border and has attempted to use its own military forces for two things. One is, I believe that they have been trying to move their ground positions right up till what they consider to be their line of action control. And as you know, Nitya, there is a discrepancy or there is no agreement between our two countries on where that line of actual control lies or runs. So that can only be resolved through talks, through discussions, through negotiations at a table, and not through moving your military forces and your artillery, etc. And I think that point has gone home to the Chinese over the last 9 or 10 months. The other point that I'd like to make is that from a strategic perspective, what the Chinese were indicating to India was that there is a huge discrepancy and a huge difference in comprehensive national power between India and China, and that India must understand its place in the Asian pecking order. It must clearly understand that China is much more powerful than India. But I think that everything that we have done, whether it's on the military side, whether it's on the geopolitical side, and even on the economic side, has indicated to China that India does not accept this proposition, and that India will stand up to bullying or stand up to military coercion.
So coming back to my question on the Quad, how do you see the strengthening of Quad impacting China's relationship with India?
Nitya, you have seen that the Quad has strengthened immeasurably over the last few months. Even if you look at it over the last year, you can see that it has strengthened immeasurably. Not only was there a physical meeting of the Quad foreign ministers in early October 2020 in Tokyo, but very soon after the Biden administration took office in Washington, there was a virtual meeting of the foreign ministers of the Quad countries, with the new entrant or the new participant being the new Secretary of State from the US administration. And today, of course, we are moving into a much higher gear, as all of us can see and understand, where the summit level meeting, the leaders of all four countries, the prime ministers and presidents of the four countries are going to have their first ever meeting. So the result of Chinese aggression, not just against India, but also in other parts of the world, whether in the South China Sea, whether vis-a-vis Taiwan, whether against Hong Kong and its own people in Hong Kong and Xinjiang, against Japan in the Senkaku Islands, which the Japanese claim. This streak of aggression has what has led to the absolute strengthening of the Quad over the last few weeks, over the last few months. And I think China will have to factor that in when it decides on what it plans to do in the future, not only geopolitically, but also geoeconomically.
You mentioned India's economic leverage in your previous answers. Do you think India will now permit foreign direct investment to come into the country from Chinese companies? Because there are reports that about 150 companies with investments of about $2 billion have been stuck in the pipeline. And one interesting bit that we all noticed is that Vivo is back as the Indian cricket team's brand sponsor. So do you think there would economics played a role in this disengagement? Was that a big factor?
Yeah. No, that's an excellent question, Nitya. And I can only share with you and your listeners what my views are. And these may not be the views of the government of India. As you know, I no longer represent and work with the government of India. But my views are that, you know, there cannot be an economic decoupling between India and China because of the very nature of the globalized economy of today. But having said that, I am very, very clear that some of the apps which have been banned by the government of India are going to continue to remain banned. I think that India will take measures where the 5G networks, which are soon going to be unrolled all over the world, are concerned. India is going to take steps to ensure that Chinese players do not have a role in India's 5G networks from a national security standpoint. As far as foreign direct investment is concerned from China, I think India will continue to allow certain areas to be open for Chinese investment, but there will be other areas which will probably close up on national security grounds. So yes, there is a lot which will change, and therefore I said it will not be business as usual. India will also begin to take steps and measures which will try to narrow and rebalance the economic relationship between India and China. And I'll give you just a couple of examples. One is, as you know, that today almost 70% of actual pharmaceutical ingredients into the Indian pharmaceutical industry are imported from China. I can see that India is going to begin manufacturing many of these APIs in India itself, and we will reduce the proportion of imports from China. So this is definitely something which is happening even as we speak. And India has a competitive advantage in this area in manufacture of APIs. The other area which I'll forward and put forward to you and your listeners, Nitya, is the area of automobile parts and ancillaries, where also India has a competitive advantage. We have a huge manufacturing base. I see this as becoming stronger as we move ahead. And I see some of the global supply chains moving to India for auto ancillaries, auto parts, etc., in the coming months and in the coming years. So India herself will be taking measures, and the PLI scheme that the government of India has announced, the productivity linked incentive scheme, is just one example here. So this is where I think the economic relationship between India and China is headed. Not a complete decoupling, but yes, definitely, I think there will be a more equitable balancing of the India-China economic relationship.
We are talking about cybersecurity and protection of national interest. There were also reports recently of Chinese intrusions in cyberspace and India planning to come out with a national security strategy. Do you think this would become a bigger threat going forward than the military intrusions that happen along the border?
That's a very good question too, Nitya. We have always, kept in mind that this could be used as a point of attack or a soft point where India was concerned. And we have taken steps. We have a national cyber security coordinator in India, and we have taken measures to ensure that such cyber attacks are not successful. And I think we will continue to work on them. So yes, this would be a new area. This would be an area where modern technology would ensure that India will have to keep its guard up. And I think we have our guard up, and we will continue to ensure that we protect India's sovereignty and integrity as we move ahead. So yes, this would probably become a new area of contention.
And I'd finally like to ask you about the coincidence bit of Pakistan announcing its ceasefire along the LOC. This has come close on the heels of the disengagement with China. Now, you've been the High Commissioner to both Pakistan and China. So would you view this development as a concerted effort between the two countries? After all, they are friends and they have China has deep investments in the CPEC.
Yeah. My answer to that would be that while I accept that, you know, China and Pakistan are very closely aligned, they're closely, they ally closely with each other. I think that these two developments are probably not planned by both of them. I think Pakistan, for its own reasons, thinks it is important to restore calm on the line of control between India and Pakistan, and that there were domestic factors within Pakistan which were leading and have led to this outcome. So I don't think there is a kind of coordination between China and Pakistan on this on these matters. But I think the developments within Pakistan themselves have dictated the need for relative calm and peace on the line of control between India and Pakistan, which led to the agreement between the Directors General of Military Operations of our two countries. So there's no direct linkage between the two, but the fact that it has happened together is a good augury, is a good thing for India. And we will, of course, take whatever steps and measures are necessary to protect ourselves and protect our territorial integrity with both these countries.
Thank you, Ambassador, for joining us today. This was an extremely insightful conversation, and we are in for some very interesting times with our neighbors.
Thank you.
You were listening to South Asia Chat. To learn more about our work, please visit us at isas.nus.edu.sg.